excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Washington State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford, reporting to you on the way home from Martin Stadium in Pullman, Washington. I guess technically I'm only reporting to you on the way back to my hotel room as I'm off on a cross-country trip to see my brother back east before making it to the Maryland game next Saturday, tomorrow morning. But that's neither here nor there, so on to the game. I think Bear fans have been waiting for a game like this for a long time. As the reporters after the game were kind of sorting through all the stats and last time, you know, things like this happened stuff, the game that kept coming to mind is the 2002 Baylor game, Tedford's first game as head coach. It's the last time the Bears exceeded 60 points. They scored 70 in that game, 66 in this one. Had that one field goal been a touchdown, they would have equaled the score from Baylor. It's also been a long time since the Bears have held an opponent to 3 points. There have been a couple of shutouts in the last few years, but none of them came coupled with an offensive performance like this one. This is the type of game that can be a program changer, in my opinion. It can also be the type of game that can have the same effect as last year's Oregon game. Too much give the players confidence in a way that they won't be preparing as hard for their future games as they should be. But the good news is, talking to the players afterwards, they were very truculent about it all. They weren't going to claim how great of a win it was. They were going to say they were very happy with the outcome, but there's a lot of things they can improve on. Particularly the offense, it seems, was very concerned about a number of things. They were concerned about their inability to get out from the goal line when they were pinned deep both times. They had to three and out those. They were concerned about how much they were relying on the big play and that there weren't that many drives of substance as opposed to big plays. The defense seemed a little bit more optimistic. They felt like they played a more complete game. Anytime you keep your opponent to 3 points, you got to feel good. What they seemed particularly happy with how the defense continued to perform, even when the backups came in, that you didn't see all of a sudden Washington State putting up, you know, 2 or 3 touchdowns with backups in the game. They were still making their tackles. They were still doing fairly well. Although I admit I could see the drop-off and I could see how they weren't performing as well. But they still kept everything in front of them, played pretty hard, made some big tackles in the backfield, and did all the things you would hope that defense to do. If that second team defense had played the whole game, it wouldn't have been a 3-point game. But they would have still won and won handily. The one thing they probably wouldn't have done is come up with the big turnovers. And that was the thing of this game that I felt really good about on defense. The blocked field goal that went all the way down for a touchdown. The interception by Sid Kwan that should have been a touchdown. I giggle because Follett and Worrell Williams and Sid Kwan were all interviewed afterwards. And they talked about, you know, what it was like to get one of those balls that you have a shot at running back, because you don't get those opportunities very often. Worrell Williams had his shot last year against Tennessee and got into the end zone. And he said, you know, I kept thinking as I was running that back that I didn't want to get caught, that I didn't want to hear in the locker room about how I didn't make it. And he said, you know, Follett had the same situation, and he made it all the way, and he out-sprinted that guy. And he was thinking the same thing, and Follett confirmed that. He said, absolutely, he knew that was his opportunity, and he was going to make it come hell or high water. And so then we asked both of them about Sid, and they're like, yeah, we've already been telling him how he missed his chance and all of that type of stuff. And Sid said the same thing. Oh, yeah, they've been telling me all about it, how, you know, I needed to make it. And he said, I just ran out of gas. I couldn't keep going. But you could tell, you know, it was in that level of jubilation of being very happy and being glad that they pulled it off and that they had those opportunities. And, you know, Sid did a good job. I mean, Follett and Williams were quick to point out, you know, you can't be too critical of a guy who got 2 interceptions and had a great game, not much going his way. You know, not many passes going his way. So overall, it really feels like the defense was the unit that played strongly. And the offense, although it played well, really, I think, took advantage of some weakness in the WSU defense. And remember, they didn't put up all their points. A lot of them were kind of handed to them on a platter. You know, some they didn't even put up at all, the return by Follett. And the same thing with Sid's return. That all they had to do was run one play. And then there were 2 other interceptions that got them just outside the red zone. So although they played well, there's no doubt about it, the defense gave them a lot of easy handouts, and that's exactly what you want out of your defense. Going to specific players, I thought Riley played a pretty good game. His one fumble was a little troublesome, holding the ball a little loose. It's the kind of thing that a mobile quarterback really needs to keep in his mind, because that is not the player you want putting the ball on the ground, particularly when he's running it. It's one thing when you get sacked and the ball comes loose because you weren't expecting it. It's another thing when you're running the ball. You, just like with the running backs, it's unacceptable for them to drop the ball ever. It's similarly unacceptable for the quarterback when he's running to drop the ball. That's the whole point of the running game, is that it's safe and consistent, and you don't have those problems of interceptions that you have with the passing game. But overall, Riley did well. I mean, he made his throws. He was going to the right guys most of the time. The one area where there's a little concern is his deep touch. He just doesn't quite have it yet. He's not on the same page with his receivers deep-wise. He had a few guys that he could have got the ball to and just didn't get the timing on it quite right, overthrew them, or generally was overthrowing them. And he's going to have to do a little bit better with that for the long game to still be a legitimate threat that the defenses are honest about. It was good to see Longshore come in, have an opportunity to get some of his confidence back, to play well, to hit his receivers. I felt like on the out patterns, he wasn't putting the ball enough outside. I mean, he was doing fine. The receivers were catching the ball. He wasn't putting them in an interceptable position. But he could have just put him that little bit more outside, and a number of times it felt like the receiver kind of had to catch the ball on his chest as opposed to out in front of him where he would have liked to on those out patterns. But overall, he did really well. It was exactly the type of outing he needed in a safe situation where it's clear it's not about getting your starting job back, but about getting back into the rhythm, and he did a good job. Who also impressed me was Manchin. Manchin played reasonably well. Now, admittedly, he was playing against a lot of backups, and things are a little bit easier, and there's so little pressure on him, it's unbelievable. But nevertheless, you want him to get that playing time, you want him to come out and have a good day, and that was a great opportunity for that. So, all of the quarterbacks did exactly what they needed to do. It was a wonderful opportunity for backups to get time. I specifically asked Tedford about that, and he said every single player that they brought to Pullman played. Not a single player didn't get playing time. And that is a wonderful thing. And Tedford echoed how wonderful that is, particularly to get that chance early in the season when there's not a lot of stress on the players and they can just go out and play. And so if they're forced into playing positions later in the season, they've got some game experience to help them. On defense, I continue to be impressed with the pressure the defensive line and the linebackers are putting on their opponent, both running plays and passing plays. They are creating havoc and really messing up the plans of the offense to get rolling. Now, admittedly, they are playing against a team that didn't have the best offensive line, but they're still a Pac-10 quality team, and they were dominating. In fact, both line of scrimmages were dominating. Alex Mack continues to play very well and just opening holes. I mean, the holes that Vereen and Best are running through are a result of just how well the offensive line is doing. Now, what Vereen and Best do is, once they get through that line, they are off to the races. They've got the spin move, and what a move by Vereen, that spin move. He should have not gotten that touchdown. But, I mean, that was, you know, video game-like stuff. So it's great to see the offensive line opening those holes for them, and it's great to see the defensive line putting so much pressure on the quarterback and really plugging up the holes on the running plays. I'm really liking this 3-4. The thing that the 3-4 does, that it's just a different mindset, and I think it's really hard for people who aren't used to it to appreciate, but see, with the 4-3, the goal is you put someone in every one of the gaps, in every hole between two linemen, you've got a defender. And so it's very hard to double-team the 4-3 because they've got somebody in every gap. And if you were to double-team somebody, that means the other gap is entirely open for the defender to come through. And with the 3-4, you line it up so that two of the three guys should be double-teamed by the offensive linemen. And if those were the only guys you were sending, that would be a problem. But the way it really works is, if the offensive line is so stupid to double-team two of those guys, linebackers come flying through, and you never know who it's going to be that's going to bring the pressure. So, really, the 3-4, it turns the tables upside down, as opposed to the offense now trying to move a specific guy out of a gap he's supposed to be covering. And so it's the offense who is the one who's making the decisions about how they go about things. With the 3-4, the tables are turned. Now it's the defense who decides which holes which players are plugging and which holes which players are trying to exploit. And the offense has to be reactive to that as opposed to proactive about who they're taking care of by whom. And while, of course, there are some differences, the 3-4 is not anything new, and people have, you know, found ways to effectively defend it, or offend it, I think that some groups and individuals have forgotten what it also benefits, and particularly when you're the one who's unique, who you're the one who's not doing what everyone else is doing, so therefore you're the unusual one to game plan for. There's a lot of value to it. And particularly when it's one of those things where now you're the one who gets to make the choices, it's even more valuable when you're being proactive about what you want to do. Other things to comment on, I think Sid Kwon Thompson had a great game. He continues to be a better and better corner with every game. What I'm noticing about him is he's getting those great instincts of knowing when to look back for the ball, knowing when to, you know, play his zone a certain way, and he's just starting to get those instincts that make a great corner. And he's got Damian Hughes-like instincts, so he's really coming along. In fact, in some ways, I believe him to be better than Damian Hughes, because one of the things I didn't like about Hughes was he had a tendency to play overly by instinct, and he would get burned on occasion. Not a lot, because he had such good moves, and he could get back to where he perhaps over, he could recover from where he had over pursued. But I don't see that with Sid Kwon. He's very clean, always doing the right things, and he uses his instincts more opportunistically as opposed to dependently in a way that he has to be instinctual or he's not going to be able to play. So he still has areas to grow, and I don't think his instincts are as good as they could be, but he really is an excellent corner and one who should get NFL consideration because of his speed, if nothing else. I mean, that was another knock of Damian Hughes, is he really wasn't all that fast. And one thing you need as a corner is to be fast, because you're going up against the fastest guys on the team. Of course, no discussion of this game would be complete without talking about Best and Vereen. Their speed continues to impress me. These guys just are fast. There was no play where it was going to be close that they didn't end up winning the sprint. They aren't the most powerful runners in the world, and they never will be, but they're sufficiently strong to, you know, get through the easy arm tackles. and they're so fast that when they're given the opportunity to run quickly, they're going to beat the guy. Particularly impressive to me was Javid Best's second touchdown run, where he should have been caught. The safety had the angle on him, and it looked like he had the angle on him all the way till about the 50-yard line, and then all of a sudden, you know what? He doesn't have the angle anymore, and he's not even going to touch him, much less catch him. Best is just that fast. I mean, and to some degree, a possible knock of Best is he takes a little bit time to get up to his top speed. Now, maybe because that's his top speed is faster than everybody else's top speed, he's going as fast as everyone else 20 yards in. He's just going faster than everyone else 40 yards in. But when his motor gets running, like a 100-yard dash kind of motor, he's going to fly, and nobody's going to catch him. And Vereen is fast. We always focus on Best and how fast he is. Well, you know what? After coming out of that spin move, there were two guys who I thought were going to catch him. But he accelerated very fast out of the move and, again, beat him to the end zone. And, again, it wasn't even close. So those guys just are amazingly impressive speed-wise. They've got great moves. The areas where they're a little green still are hitting the hole at the right time and knowing when to push through and knowing when to wait a little bit. But the great news there is they're getting better at a very fast rate. Best was a ton better this week at waiting for his hole than he was last week. And Vereen, too, he was actually making less mistakes in the past, but he's getting better as well. And those two are a powerful 1-2 combination. And really are going to be the backbone of this team throughout the season. Who also impressed along those lines was Peter Gertz. He's not going to compete with Vereen and Best, and even Slocum for starting time. But you know what? Maybe he should be converted to fullback, because the guy has what it takes to move. And he's powerful, is what he is. He's not fast, he's not a sprinter, but he can bowl somebody over. And in that sense, he could, in theory, be a good 1-2 punch, but he just doesn't have enough of it to really do that. So it seems like a move to fullback, and a fullback who would actually run the ball a few times, as opposed to the fullback usage that you frequently see out of the Bears, where they get a carry twice a game, if that, and it's only because it's third and a half a yard, and we're going to do the quick handoff as opposed to the long handoff. And then mostly they're just for blocking or catching out of the backfield. But Gertz impressed me today. I really think that he's got more potential than people give him credit for, and they need to find some way to fit him into things because he is that good. And just because you have that much talent at tailback doesn't mean you can't fit him in somehow. A player who was conspicuously absent today was Cameron Mora. Didn't get a catch, and the one throw his way was a bad throw by Riley. And I'm curious what that means. I mean, I'm sure the coaches are going to look over the game film and find the real answer. But does it mean that defenses are now keying on him and they're going to be very conscious of where he is all the time? Or does it mean that he didn't have that good of a game? Or just that the game plan didn't go his way. Or it was so easy to run the ball that they didn't even have to worry about throwing to the tight end. It's hard to tell, really. But I don't think there's any reason to think he necessarily had a bad game. I think he did just fine. Probably, he was just invisible. And as I said, that's not a sign that necessarily he did anything wrong. But if it was a case where WSU was game planning for him, I think you're going to see a little tit and tat here where, you know, next week Maryland's going to be all over trying to plug up the holes for Best and Vereen. And all of a sudden you're going to see a lot more free Cameron Mora again. You're going to see wide receivers who are just sprinting down the field wide open. And it's one of those waterbed type of things where you push down on one spot and it pokes up in another. And that's what I think makes this offense so dangerous, is everything has potential. Some of it's still a little raw, but it's all there. And if defenses think they can just key in on one player or one aspect of the team's play, they're going to get burned in the other areas. So to wrap everything up, there's not much not to like about this team right now. And I don't see them losing either of their next two games. Now, hopefully they won't feel that way, because that's exactly how they do lose one of the next two games. But this team is very talented. If they can get a little bit more polished between now and when they face Arizona State, they have what it takes to get to USC undefeated, particularly if Oregon calms down a little bit. They've been going nuts the last few weeks, or the last couple weeks, but it's really hard to tell what that means. They just have a way of putting up a ton of points on teams that aren't as good as them, and they don't let off the gas ever. And that doesn't mean that the Bears can't beat them. That's exactly what happened last year. They were putting up 60 points a game, and oh, how could anybody slow their offense? Well, guess what? They only scored 10 points in the first half in their own house. So I hope people don't get too overexcited about what Oregon is, because they really haven't played the tough game yet, and their offense is built around the quick strike, and good defenses know how to slow them down. So, I mean, just looking forward at that schedule. You've got Maryland next week, a team that is really struggling, it seems. You got Colorado State 2 weeks after that with a bye in the middle, a team that should be no problem for the Bears in any form or fashion. And then Arizona State at home, and that's where everything starts, because you got Arizona State. Then we go on the road to Arizona, another game that's easily winnable, that you won't see the Bears overlooking them like they have in the past. UCLA, Oregon, and USC, before finishing off the season with Oregon State, Stanford, and Washington, all teams who are in the lower half of the Pac-10. And so it really comes down to that four-game stretch. And if the Bears can be polished by the time they get to that four-game stretch, there's not a team there they couldn't beat. Not that they will, but that they couldn't beat. And particularly with the four of them all, you know, crammed into a five-game sequence, I think it's going to be very unlikely that they do win all four. But the point is, this team has that much talent. The defense is that good. The offense has that much potential. And they showed it against a Washington State team that's not nearly as bad as they look today. So with that, I'm going to wrap up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. I will have quotes from Coach Tedford and a number of the players after I wrap up here. Listen for those, and I will talk to you next week after the Maryland game. Thank you for listening.
I knew what those two are capable of. We saw it last year with Java, and I watch Shane practice every day, so it's not surprising at all, you know, that those are two quality guys with great speed. And, you know, one of the things is both of those guys have the ability, if they get in the open field, to take it the distance, because they have tremendous speed. Two of them, big ones, they were marching to, you know, and so they were really at great times, and did a nice job of stepping in front. He has a real good feel, and he's a student of the game. He studies the game hard and understands what the opponent's trying to do to him. And so he's not only a smart, not only an athletic player, but a smart player. Mm-hmm.
How valuable is it to get so much time for backups today?
It was key. I mean, that's something that you really like to do early in the season. And we got all the way down to, we played everybody we brought. We got all the way down to threes and fours, you know, down the stretch there. And they almost got to play a whole quarter, it seemed like. You know, I thought there was, like, I don't know, probably 9 minutes to play, and we had one of those other guys there, you know. So it was nice to, you really look early in the year to try to get those guys some game time.
Talk specifically about Nate and having him getting a chance to play. Was that good to see?
Absolutely. I thought he was really sharp. Came in and was on the mark with everything he did. You know, he was really, really sharp, ran the hook, you know, all the things that he's capable of doing. He did a great job. And then getting Brock in as well, you know, that's something that's important. Time to time, get your third guy in.
It's fun. I mean, each time we get the ball in our hands, we're trying to make something exciting happen. And with the O-line playing as they are, with receivers blocking, fullback Wiltoff doing his thing. I mean, it makes it even more fun, a lot more exciting to play.
That was huge. I mean, it really set the tone very quickly. And everyone was just going crazy. I mean, he hit the holes, you see his speed right there, and he did a great job getting to the house. To us, it's kind of, it works both for us and against us, because sometimes we get lackadaisical, but we're able to keep pushing after halftime and keep the pressure on. And it was great because it kind of took their momentum away and added to our success.
You know, is this call at the line? Running backs didn't hear me. You know, they're loud at that time. Getting the way we're supposed to run, and they weren't there, so I just tucked it and ran. So
looked like you were kind of looking for, okay, who's going to come up, and I'll go down, but no one came up, so you just kept going.
Yeah, I know. I was surprised no one caught me, so I was waiting for someone to grab me, but I didn't have it. It was at the line play, so we're calling a play off their lineman, and I told the backs to go the other way, and they didn't hear me and didn't see me, but my action. And they went the other way, and I was like, I just ran. There was a hole there because the line hurt me.
Right.
And I just went through the hole that the line already made. So, got a lot of things to work on, for sure. I mean, myself, I got to take care of the ball better. I fumbled through a couple passes. I definitely wish I could have thrown better. So, I got to go back really prepared next week for a good Maryland team. And let's practice hard. You know, it just starts with practice. We need everybody going 100% all the time on the routes. And, there's a couple miscommunications between the receivers and the quarterbacks today. And it's got to work. It's coming up where those mistakes was going to cost us. And it needs to change, and we need to do a better job. And I need to do a better job. I practice telling these guys what needs to go on, what I need to do. So.
Oh, man, dude, I've dreamed of a play like that running for so long. I finally got it. And my coach, my trainer, my junior year of high school always told me, you know, if you ever get one of those, just stop trying to strain, just relax and go. So I thought of that, and the thing going through my mind was Appalachian State, Michigan, when that guy got caught by a kicker. No, I didn't want to do that. I'd never hear the end of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he had the neat perfect bounce. What do you think?
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And I took off. It was a perfect bounce. You know, it was in his hands. He took care of me. So I got to give him the credit. We knew, I just said, it was going to be a long day. If we're coming out there, sending a statement like that, and he, anytime jobs in the open field, we are automatically put our hands up. So he's a great back in our offense. And then Shane Vereen comes back with his touchdown run with that spin, and it's like competition between them two. I think we have one of the best 1-2 in the country.
Hey, we're up 42-3. This shouldn't be a surprise to us. You know, coaches didn't mess around with our heads, screw their heads, saying, dude, this is a great team, blah, blah. They flat out told us, you guys should beat this team, and let's make it look like that. And so my challenge to defense was, hey, let's just go out there the second half. And right now, everybody in America was looking at this game, and we were never watching this game, or thinking, okay, it should be like this. But it was surprising more if we ran it up even more, you know what I mean, or shut them down completely. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you always, sometimes in the past, you're used to, you know, giving up a little or something like that. You know what I mean? We want to be a hard on defense, shut down defense, and to get to where we want to be, that's what you have to do. You got to finish the games off. And I think we finished the game off pretty well. Hey, man, I got one last year, you know, and it was his time, you know what I mean? And he responded the way he was supposed to. I mean, the play was perfect. I mean, he did what he was supposed to do. In his position, he's supposed to go up and wrap around for anything like that. And he wrapped around it, and there it goes. You know what I mean? You do your responsibility. I'm sure that's going to be on the film tomorrow for you know, guys doing the assignment the way they're supposed to do, the way they're supposed to be. I mean, normally plays like that don't happen, so guys, you know, they might. He did his thing.
If he gets that bounce and doesn't score, how much crap does he take tomorrow from you guys?
We take a lot of crap by coach, by every single play. I think every play gets a shot at it tomorrow. We might watch it 20 times. But he got there, so, man, I'm proud of him, man. I was so excited for him.
So is Sid going to get crap for falling 5 yards short?
Sid will get crap. Sid will get crap for getting caught, you know what I mean? But, you know. I mean, he got 2 picks, so he, you know, really can't say too much about it. You know, I mean,
but you'll find a way.
You'll find a way, yeah.
I think they'll put us the first one on. I don't think the quarterback seen me, really. He really didn't make eye contact with me like he seen me, so he pretty much just threw it to me, not knowing I was there. The second one, I just made a good read on what they were trying to do. They tried to run scissor routes at us, and think I played it good, and the quarterback thought he could make a play for his team, and then I ended up making a play for our team. Oh, yeah, man, I'm already ready. I've already been hearing it. I was good for the first 40, and then after that, my back and hips started getting tight, so I was pretty much trying to give what I could. On the road again.